Thank you for listening to the Ablaze Church Sermon Podcast. Our purpose at Ablaze is to love God, love others, follow Jesus, and tell others. If you are looking for a church home in the Tulsa area, we'd love to have you join us for worship on Saturdays at 6:30 p.m. or Sundays at 10:30 a.m. For more information, please visit our website at ablazechurch.org.
Shine in 2019. It all began with the creation of the world. And I'd like to spend just a moment on that. On the first day, God created light. Who's the God who created light? God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. On the second day, God created the sky and the atmosphere, the weather. On the third day, God created the land, sea, and vegetation according to their kinds, all the plants, all the food that you eat. On the fourth day, God created the sun, moon, and the stars and gave us a calendar. Those things affect our weather and give us time that we can measure. On the fifth day, God created the birds of the air and the fish. On the sixth day, God created all the living creatures that move on the ground, all the livestock, and then he created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created male and female. What does it mean to be created in the image of God? You are triune, body, soul, and mind. And it was Adam and Eve after creation that fell. Because instead of obeying God, they reached out to creation, an apple or whatever fruit was in that tree, for wisdom. And they sinned. And because of sin, they were going to die. And God brought judgment. But in judgment, God always makes a promise. He said, someday I'll send someone from Eve who will take care of sin, death, and the power of the devil. But an innocent animal had to die. Blood had to be spilt to cover the sin of Adam and Eve. And God made loincloths from the death of an animal. From that point on, creation sinned. And God sent the flood. And with judgment comes salvation. Those in the ark were saved. Those who are in Christ are saved. Whenever God brings judgment, he brings salvation. But through Noah and the families, he made the promise, the Messiah is coming. Someday, my own lamb will take away the sin of the world. And then Abraham came on the scene and God called him. And Abraham begot Isaac. And it was Abraham who put wood on Isaac. And they went to Golgotha. They went to that mountain in Jerusalem. And you remember, Isaac said, Father, where is the lamb? The Lord will provide his lamb. And we get a type of the future. And Abraham begot Isaac. Isaac begot Jacob. Jacob had 12 sons. Number 11 was Joseph. Joseph went through many things. The Lord works for the good of all those who love him. And he ended up in Egypt. And there in Egypt, second to Pharaoh, all of God's people came to Egypt. And then Joseph died. And 300 years later, Joseph was remembered no more. God heard the cry of his people and wanted to save them. But before saving, there has to be judgment. And so God called a very reluctant man, one who was not qualified, Moses. And Moses said, well, who shall I say is sending me? And here's words that should ring out in our lives. I am who I am. In the Hebrew, Yahweh. In the Greek, Jesus. Yeah. I am who I am is going to send you. Well, you know, what if they don't believe me? I'll give you my power. Power over creation. And you'll do great wonders in my name. Okay, I get this. You want me to go. But I am slow to talk and not very eloquent. And God gets mad and angry and says to Moses, so he'll never forget. So everyone here, including I, will not forget. He says, who makes man's mouth? Who makes man's ears? Who makes man's eyes? I do. I am the creator. You are not Moses. Go. Okay. I get it. So Moses goes. And he stands before Pharaoh. And this is what he says. The Lord God says to you, let my people go so they may worship me. If there's anything you take home from this, you better take this home. God cares deeply about who you worship. He wanted his people to worship him, nobody else. And then Pharaoh asks two important questions. These are two of the most important questions anybody could ask on earth, and they are asked today by a host of people. And maybe you have asked these two questions. Now, the first thing Pharaoh asks of Moses is this: who is the I Am? Who is the Lord? Who is this person? Good question. And then the second question: why should I obey him? These are the two most important questions you could ever ask, because number one, they will dictate the way you live your life and determine your eternal destination. Now, Pharaoh was no different than anybody sitting here this morning or today in our world. Moved by creation, Pharaoh looked out over creation and said, we have science, we have knowledge, and the sun rises and sets. It's so consistent. Our God is a God who is consistent. Our gods are so consistent. The Nile floods every year back and forth. Nature is so consistent. You can predict it. Oh, it's a little crazy. But they looked at creation, the people of Egypt, and made creation their gods. Now, I know what some of you might be saying, because a lot of people look at the 10 plagues that knock off 10 gods of Egypt, and they say, oh, why would God do that? A lot of people reject Christianity because of the story of the plagues. But God brings judgment, and with it salvation. The plagues that destroyed the gods of Egypt saved the children of Israel. Now, Egypt and the Egyptians are no different than people throughout history, from Adam and Eve in the garden who reached out to creation for wisdom. People have been doing that ever since. The Babylonians, the Midianites, the Greeks had gods of creation. Ever heard of Poseidon? The Romans. Listen to this. You're going to love this. During the time, 2,000 years ago, That's okay, I don't need it. Listen to the words of Paul about the people during the time of Jesus. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened, claiming to be wise. Know anybody like that? They became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man, birds and animals and creeping things. They worshiped creation, no different than the Egyptians, no different than today. Your children, people you know, your grandchildren, and mine. I have a grandson. You know who he wants to be? Spider-Man. You know what he wears all the time? Spider-Man outfits. He does not want to be Jesus. That's sad, folks. Who are the superheroes today? God and goddesses and demigods of creation. Let me share a few with you. Ever heard of Aquaman? Ever heard of Spider-Man? Ever heard of Batman and his demigod, Robin? Ever heard of Wolverine, the god of wolves? Ever heard of the Ninja Turtles? Ever heard of Firestorm, Hawkman, Black Lightning, Blue Beetle, Iron Man, Ant-Man, Wasp, which is a girl? Who do our children emulate? Who goes to the movies to see these so-called gods of... It's no different today, folks. Let me tell you the most important two most important questions today for everyone. Who is Yahweh? Who is Jesus? And why should I obey him? Let's go back to the plague story, and God answers that question. In front of you are the 10 plagues. Now, if you ever note, I'm going to run through these real quick for you, and I'm going to show how God answers the question, who is Yahweh, and why should I obey him? God number one that is knocked off by the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is called Happy. He's the Nile God. Aquaman, Poseidon. Yeah, water becomes blood. God says, strike the water, raise your hands, turn water into blood. And this is what Pharaoh does, walks up. Yep, it's a lot of blood. You're not going anyplace. And Pharaoh's heart is hardened. So with the next plague, God knocks off another god who was worshipped in Egypt. And he turns it up just a little bit. God number two, Heket, frogs. Oh, yeah, you say, they worshipped a frog god? Oh, yeah, ever heard of the Ninja Turtles? Yeah, they had these gods. And it was a man with the head of a frog. Excuse me, a goddess, a woman with the head of a frog. Now, these first two plagues, when you read the story, and I pray that you'll go home and read the story of the 10 plagues. It's so interesting. The magicians of Pharaoh duplicated them. They took water and turned it into blood. So Pharaoh wasn't so impressed with even the Nile becoming blood. And then they were able to produce frogs. Have you ever seen a magician today take a card, appear and disappear? A coin, appear and disappear? On television, how many people have appeared and disappeared? Lions appear and disappear. Even today, magicians are able to make things appear and disappear. And we know it's smoke and mirrors. But the magicians were able to do that. But it knocked off two gods of Egypt that they worshipped. Then the third plague comes. Gnats. Ever had chiggers? Ever had a gnat fly into your eye? It gnat nice. Some of you will get that later. But plague number three... One, two, and three all happened to everybody in Egypt. Even the Hebrews had to deal with this, the children of Israel. But when it comes to plague four, God is turning it up. Pharaoh's heart is getting harder and harder. If God is not able to soften your heart, or if your heart is not softened, it will get harder. And plague number four is where God separates the Hebrews, Goshen, the land, from the Egyptians, and he sends flies. Who's the god? The frogs? Heket was a goddess. Gnats? Geb. And for the fourth, flies, Khepri. Okay? And all these flies came. Have you ever been bothered by flies? Have you ever tried to eat with flies? Imagine swarms of flies. The Egyptians got fed up with all the flies. In fact, Pharaoh himself softened his heart a little and said, okay, you can go, but not very far. And Moses said, that's not good enough. There's going to be another plague. And Pharaoh hardened his heart. Number five, the death of the livestock. Once again, a goddess is worshipped, Hathor. Okay? And It was the livestock. Okay, and you can see where the children of Israel brought this God into the future. Remember, the children of Israel went into the promised land not once, twice. Twice they made a golden calf and bowed down to this golden calf and said these words, "You, who we have made with our own hands," even though they knew, had eyes that could not see, ears that could not hear, a mouth that could not speak. This golden calf, they bowed down, and this is what they said. "You brought us out of the land of Egypt with your great power and out of the house of slavery." And we go, what? They turned to creation to worship? Oh, yeah, it's the history of mankind. Where did they get that from? The God of Hathor. Now, the other day, I was driving by the road up by Lake Skytook, and there was a dead horse on the side of the road. I stopped my car and examined it, okay, because all these vultures were flying around, and there were flies, and it stunk. Have you ever seen a dead horse at a dead cow? It's terrible. Imagine thousands, maybe a million of them all around your land, but not in Goshen. Whew, how terrible that would be. So God knocks off the so-called God of Hathor. Number six, plague number six, boils. It's interesting how Noah does it. He goes over the fireplace, takes some soot, and does the LeBron James. And all that powder and all that dust spreads out, and it becomes boils. Have you ever had shingles? Ever had a bad case of poison ivy? A fever blister? Poison oak? In Minnesota, it's called itchweed. Okay? Well, multiply them, put them together, and you'll have boils. How terrible that was. And at this point, Pharaoh's heart is softened. Yeah. And you know what he says? Okay, okay, you can go, but just the men. Leave the women and the children here and your livestock. And Pharaoh goes, and Moses goes, that's not the deal. That's not what it is. And so Pharaoh hardens his heart. And sometimes it is God in the Bible that hardens Pharaoh's hearts. Now, why would God do that? Because he wants to knock off all 10 gods and all the demigods. See, every 10 gods had demigods beneath them. There were more than 10. It's like Batman, and every Batman has a Robin, where every one of these gods has smaller gods underneath. But he's knocking them off. So the boils didn't work. So number seven comes, hail. Once again, Isis is a goddess of health and the body. Number seven, hail. Nut is a goddess. There are god and goddesses. Nut is the one of the sky. Who made the sky on the second day? It was God, not Nut. It's nutty to think any other way. Oh, I like that. Yeah. Okay. So, now, we were threatened this week with pea-sized hail, and I don't think anybody here panicked. But if they would have said golf ball-sized hail, those of you who, you know, kind of really appreciate and worship their car would have put it in the garage. Okay, if it was baseball-sized hail, you guys would have probably hid your car under a ramp or something. Can you imagine softball-sized hail? Anybody's ever seen that? Yeah, I haven't. I don't want to. Okay? Now, what did God say? Hail that has never been seen before. I'm going to say bowling ball size. It killed all the livestock, killed anything left, knocked down all the trees. And you're going to say, well, how could there, you know, be any livestock left? Well, the Egyptians, I'm sure, went to the Hebrews and bought animals because they had to survive, because all the Hebrew animals were still alive. They could mark up the price, I'm sure. But now everything is wiped out. The hail. Okay? But Pharaoh's heart is hard still. Then we go to number eight. Oh, excuse me. I got to back up. After the hail, Pharaoh's heart is softened. And this is what he says to Moses, I have sinned. Now let me tell you once again the two most important questions. Who is Yahweh? And why should I obey him? He says, I have sinned. The Lord, Yahweh, Elohim, the I am, is right. But he wasn't going to obey. He says, the Lord is right. I am wrong. But he wouldn't let the people go. And his heart became hard again. So God sends number 8, locusts. What God has knocked off? Seth. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't like grasshoppers. I'm one of those guys, rattlesnake, no big deal. Grasshopper, that's me. Everybody, some people don't like spiders. They don't bother me. A swarm of locusts would kill me, I think. But this is what the swarms did. They ate everything the hail knocked down. Now Egyptians didn't have livestock. They had nothing to eat. All the locusts came, and Pharaoh's heart was softened just a little bit. And he once again acknowledges who Yahweh, the great I am, is. He says, I have sinned. Forgive me. Pharaoh said, I have sinned against Yahweh. Forgive me. There are so many people today. There's not a whole lot of atheists. I know you may think you know a lot of atheists. There's not that many. People really believe in a God. If they don't believe in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, it's creation or it is themselves. But they believe in some spiritual power. Pharaoh said, I have sinned against Yahweh. Forgive me. But he was not gonna obey. There are people today who know Jesus. There are people who will say, I am sorry, but they're not going to obey. Is that you today? Listen, who is Yahweh and why should I obey him? He's the creator of heaven and earth. He's the one who will send his own lamb. His love is incomprehensible, really, in human terms. So after the locust, he says, I have sinned, but he's not going to obey. So many people get to that point. I have sinned, forgive me. But will they obey Jesus? No. So after the locust, his heart is hardened. He doesn't obey, and darkness comes. The God knocked off is Ra. You see, Ra is the sun god, so consistent. The science says it rises and it sets. Oh, that's our God. And this was the teaching. Pharaohs came from Ra. Children of Ra are pharaohs. And God darkens the land of the Egyptians. Can you recall another time in history when a land is darkened? You know by who? The great I am, Elohim, who was hanging on a cross, showing that he's the one who did it in the land of Egypt for every one of us who know the story. And Pharaoh's heart is so hard, and now he says to Moses, if I ever see your face again, you will die. And Moses says, you're never going to see my face again. And he departs, and the 10th plague is ushered in. What is the 10th plague? For an Egyptian, you know who Pharaoh was? Emmanuel. God with us. The son of Ra is among us. He protects us. He keeps things organized. He is our savior. And the firstborn of Pharaoh is God. And death reigns. But in this judgment, salvation is also found. Now, this 10th plague was a very important plague in this. God instituted a very sacred meal. And he said, I want this event of the 10 plagues and the 10 gods knocked off where man turns to creation. I want this to be a reminder for all time. Do not turn to creation and worship it. Listen to the words. Exodus 9, if you want to follow along, you can. Exodus 9, 16. Listen to why God sent the plagues. But for this purpose, I have raised you up, Moses, to show you my power. Why should I obey? Pharaoh said, because he is the superhero. He has all the power over creation. He's the creator, not creation. So that my name may be proclaimed in all the earth. From the time of Pharaoh's to this day, God's name is proclaimed. You want to know what happened? The downfall of the Egyptians? Why we have those pyramids and it seems we don't know what happened to the Egyptians. They had no food. They had no livestock, and all their slave labor was pulled out by God. What was the undoing? What was the undoing of the Egyptians? They knew Yahweh. They didn't obey him. I'll tell you this morning what will be the undoing of your life if you put anything before God. It'll undo your life. If you put your career before God, your life will become undone. If you put your marriage before God, I believe it'll become undone. You put your children, money before God, your life will become undone. That's why next week you don't want to miss it. Because when they go ahead for the promised land, God gives them commandments. And let me tell you how the commandments are. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, the house of slavery. Put nothing before me. That's next week. I don't want to get into that. But now let me take you back to the Passover meal. God has the children of Israel. Let me tell you who is as guilty as the Egyptians, the children of Israel. Judgment is coming. It'll be for everyone. But when judgment is pronounced by God, he brings and offers salvation. The Egyptians knew who who Yahweh was. The Hebrews knew. What was the difference between the Egyptians and the Hebrews? They obeyed. And that night he said, take blood from a lamb, an unblemished lamb. An unblemished lamb is the one you want to keep and the one you want to for future generations breed. Take the best and sacrifice it. It doesn't make sense to us. God says, no, you take the best for me. It shows that you worship me. And put it on those door frames, and the angel of death is going to pass over. If there was any Hebrew who did not do that, guess what? They died. Judgment was upon them. Salvation was through obeying God. By his grace, by faith in him, we obey and we do what he says. From creation on, throughout, God always has said this, the Messiah is coming. Let me put it in words today that you'll remember. I will provide my lamb. I will provide my lamb. And the Passover meal is so sacred. Do this for all generations. Know this covenant. And from that point on, people would sacrifice because innocent blood had to be spilled to cover the sin of mankind. And generation after generation until the birth of Jesus Christ. Listen to the last prophet of the Old Testament. John the Baptist, when he sees Jesus at the Jordan River. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Have you beheld the great I Am lately? Have you? Who is the great I Am? The one who created the heavens and the earth. The one who said, let there be light. Who's the great I Am? The one who gave Moses the power to knock down the 10 gods of Egypt. Who is the great I Am? The one who said, let there be sky. Let us create man in our image. Who's the one who said those very words? Jesus. who said, before Abraham was, I am. Jesus, who demonstrated his power, just like to Pharaoh, to everyone of the time, when he calmed the wind and the waves. And they said, who is this that nature listens to him? They beheld him. And then on the night that Jesus was betrayed, he gathered his disciples. And they celebrated this event, the 10 plagues. And the story was told. And you can just hear the words of Jesus. Listen, he said, your forefathers walked in the wilderness and they died. Now, it was not Moses who gave him bread from heaven. It was the Father who gave him bread from heaven. And now, the true bread from heaven has come down. I am the bread of life from the Father. If you eat of the food I offer and drink the drink I offer, you will not die. You will live forever. For my body is real food. My blood is real drink. So when they're celebrating this sacred meal, remembering the great I am, all that God has did, answering the question, who is Yahweh, the creator of heaven and earth, the only superhero? Why should I obey him? Greater love has no one. God so loved the world. It's so hard for us to comprehend how much God loves us. He was willing to say, I'll be the lamb for you. So no lamb, no innocent blood will ever have to be spilt again. It's me who's dying for you. And we see the creator who died when there are earthquakes at his death. There is darkness at his death. It should remind every one of us right back. There's only one God. And he died for us. Behold, the Lamb of God. When we celebrate the Lord's Supper, this is when we behold the one and only true God, our superhero. This is where we partake of the God who died for us and remember him as we should remember those 10 plagues. This is my body which is given for you. This is my blood which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And then he said these words, I'm not going to do this again with you until I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom. Always saying, with judgment of the world will come salvation. Jesus will bring judgment, and he is our salvation. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Behold, the Lamb of God, shine. Let people know who Yahweh is, the great I am. And we behold him by obeying him.